Welcome to our message today. I'm Steve Reynolds. I'm the lead pastor at Capital Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you to our message today about the topic of next level goals. Next level goals. Today I'm very excited to talk to you about this area as we're continuing a series called Next Level Living. Next Level Living. And in this series, we're talking about some core actions you have to do if you're going to go to the next level in your life. And one of those areas is you have to set goals. You have to set goals. I am a firm believer, and this is how I live my life, that if I'm not, accomplishing what I hope to accomplish, the first place I look is in the area of goal setting. Because really, I believe that we're not making the progress we feel like we should be making in any area of our life. It's probably because we don't have a set of clearly defined goals. And so today we're going to talk about this very topic. Now, as we begin, I just want to emphasize the fact that, listen, God wants every single one of us to go to the next level of living. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe, listen, that God wants to do that in your life. And our key verse for this series is Isaiah 43:19, where the Bible says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Twice in that verse is the word I. And it's talking about God. God is speaking. And what God is saying is, listen, I will do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants to take you to the next level of living in your life. And then also he says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God can do miracles. And, you know, when I think about those words, wilderness and desert, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is COVID. COVID. I mean, so I'm so tired of that thing called COVID, and I'm sure you're tired as well. And for many of us, it's a wilderness. For many of us, it's a desert. But God says, even in the midst of, and I'll interpret it this way, COVID, listen, I can and I will do a new thing. So I'm excited. I'm excited about my life, and I'm excited about going to the next level of living. And I know if we're going to do that, we have to have next level goals. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a biblical example, and his name is Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And some of you might know a bit about him. Some of you don't know much about him. Some of you don't know anything about him. But he was a man that God called to literally go to the next level in taking some walls that had fallen down and rebuild them. I mean, when you talk about next level, I mean, that's about as literal as you can get, right? Walls that are down here, his goal was to take them up here, right? To take them up here. And it's an exciting passage we're going to look at here, mainly in Nehemiah chapter 2, where we see step by step what Nehemiah did in the area of goals. So right now what I want to do is I want to read our key verse for today, for this particular message. And it's Nehemiah 2, verse 5. Nehemiah 2, verse 5. And here the Bible says, "And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." You see, what Nehemiah is saying is, I have a goal. I have a goal. And at this point in time, he's working for the king. He's the king's cupbearer. And in order to leave and fulfill his goal, he's got to be released from his current position. All right. And so he goes to the king and he says, "King, listen, please let me go. I want to go rebuild that wall." And praise the Lord, God spoke to the king, and Nehemiah was released, and indeed he accomplished that goal. He rebuilt that wall. Now, when you think about goals, let me just share with you something important. And that is, and I really believe this is kind of my working definition of goals. Goals are a statement of faith in God and His will for your life. Let me say that again. Goals are a statement of faith in God and His will for your life. Now, if you're tracking along in this series, last time we talked about next level faith. And we talked about how that faith is the foundation. As a Christian, our worldview must include the fact that our faith is the foundation of everything in our lives. And that's why we started out talking about next level faith. That's the beginning point of going to the next level in your life. Now, when it comes to goals, and by the way, what I'm describing to you, these six core actions, I really believe they're chronological. I really believe they build on each other. And a statement, listen, of faith is a statement of goals. In other words, you're a person of faith, all right? And we talked about faith being confident obedience to the Word of God, regardless of circumstances or consequences. That's faith. And out of faith, you set goals. And really for the Christian, what goals are is you're saying, okay, as far as I can tell, to the best of my ability, I believe this is God's will for my life. In other words, you know, you're projecting out by faith and you're setting goals believing that that's God's will for your life. So goals are really, really important, okay? Goals are, and a person of faith ought to be a person who has goals in their lives. And so let's look at this. Basically, we're doing a case study of Nehemiah when it comes to goals. And I want to take you through this and talk about how to take your goals to the next level. How to take your goals to the next level. Now, when we think about this and talk about this, I want to mention, before we get into it, probably the two most common areas of, as far as mistakes go, in goal setting. And I just want to highlight these two because what I'm going to describe to you today will help you to overcome these two common mistakes people made, with goal setting. And the first is we set them too low. We set them too low. So as a Christian, listen, God, our God is a big God, all right? As a big God. And so don't be afraid to set big goals. In other words, you're serving a big God. And again, if you just sense, okay, this is God's call, this is God's will for me, don't be afraid to dream big goals. Another one is this. We try to accomplish them too quickly. So a lot of times what we do is we think we're going to microwave our goal. You know, this is going to happen really, really fast. But there's an old statement that says inch by inch, anything is a cinch. You ever heard of that? Maybe that's just me speaking, maybe showing my age or whatever. Okay. But inch by inch, anything is a cinch. And really what that's saying is, listen, you know, it takes time, you know, it takes time. And so give yourself the time you need, to accomplish, the goal. So those are just the two things. I see this a lot. I do these things myself. Okay. Let me start with me as far as making, mistakes go. I struggle in these areas. Maybe you do too. Okay. And, you probably do, right? Okay. But how can we fix that? How can we remedy that? Well, let's talk about Nehemiah and what Nehemiah did to take the goal to the next level, his goal to the next level. So number one, pray to God. Pray to God. Listen, the first thing you do, okay, and you don't just pray at first, you pray all the way through, right? All right, the Bible, I believe if I remember correctly, there's 10 prayers that Nehemiah prays that are recorded in the Bible, okay? In the book of Nehemiah, 10 different prayers. I mean, he prayed at the start, He prayed all along the way, okay? But the first thing you do is to pray. Pray before you do anything else. Let me say that again. Pray before you do anything else. Again, you were trying to discern God's will. Again, just that whole definition of a goal. I mean, you're making a statement. It's a statement of faith, but it's also a statement of you believing that this is God's future. This is something God wants you to accomplish. And listen to how it starts in Nehemiah chapter 1, 3 through 4. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the capacity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Okay, so he's describing the situation. Verse 4. So it was when I heard these words. So he hears this announcement about the walls that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So what does he do? He hears the news and he begins to pray. And the walls were a big deal. You know, I could actually say quite a bit about this. I'm not going to do that. But the walls of a city at that time represented strength. All right. I mean, they were basically, walls that protected the city. Okay. And actually defined the city as well. They were really, really important. All right. And the walls of Jerusalem, they were broken down. Okay. They were broken down. And Nehemiah began to fast. Nehemiah began to pray. And listen, it actually tells us how long he prayed before he acted. All right? Listen, the Bible gives a timeline. You know, this is important because, honestly, there's not a lot of this in the Bible, okay? There's some, all right? But take note, God tells us that Nehemiah prayed in the month Chislu. And the month Chislu is December. So that's in 1-1 of Nehemiah. And then in 2-1, it says he prayed until Nisan. And that's April. That's April. You know what that means? Before he did anything, he prayed for 4 months. He prayed for 4 months before he ever spoke to the king about going. He prayed. What should you pray about? Notice what Nehemiah prayed about. Number one, there's two areas. Pray about what God wants you to be. What does God want you to be? Nehemiah 1:6 says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that I may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. See, Nehemiah understood what God wanted him to be. And what God wanted him to be was to be holy. You know, the Bible tells us specifically in the book of 1 Peter what God wants us to be. And it says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. What does God want? He wants us to be holy. And Nehemiah recognized that they were unholy. And he begins to cry out to God, and he confesses his sin to God. He says, we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. And there are many reasons this is important in relationship to goal setting. But one of those is found in 2 Peter 2:21, where the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You see, if you want God to use you to accomplish a goal for Him, you got to be clean, okay? I didn't say perfect. I did say clean. And what that means is you have to be willing to take a spiritual bath, if you will. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. Nehemiah is saying, Lord, we've sinned against you. I've sinned. The people have sinned. And 2 Peter 2:21 tells us that if we want to be, and I love this, a vessel for honor, if we want to be sanctified, if we want to be useful for the master, if we want to be prepared for every good work, it says you got to cleanse yourself. That means you got to confess your sin. Listen, as you're thinking about your goals right now, start with what God wants you to be. He wants you to be holy. I mean, is there sin in your life right now that you need to confess? Is there something you need to, and to confess means to agree with God about your sin? Do it. Do it. And then secondly, pray about what God wants you to do. Nehemiah prayed about what God wanted him to be, but he also prayed about what God wanted him to do. He says, Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. What's he praying about? He's praying about what he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to rebuild those walls in Jerusalem. But there's something that stood in the way. And that is, listen, he had to get released, okay, from his current position, all right? He had to get the release from the king to be able to go and do it. And he's praying about that. He's praying about what he wanted to do, but he knew for that to happen, listen, he had to ask to be released from his current position. And he said, let your servant prosper this day. I love Psalm 37:23 that speaks to this idea of what God wants us to do. It says in Psalm 37:23, and I love this. I love this verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let me read that again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Make sure God is ordering your steps. Make sure what you're going to do or set out to do is God's order to you, God's will for you. So the first thing you got to do is you got to pray to your God. Okay, your goals have got to be birthed out of prayer. Again, he prayed for 4 months, 4 months before he even started to act on the goal. And then secondly, overcome your fear. It's scary to set goals, isn't it? It really is. Okay, it's scary. And we could do a whole sermon just on why it's scary. Okay. Really. But there's a couple things that go through my mind a lot of times when it comes to goals. The first one is rejection. Rejection. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with this. You know, wow, if I declare this as a goal, you know, and I'm a public figure and I lead a church family, okay, and I have to go public many times with goals. And frankly, one of the things that goes through my mind is, they're not going to like this, okay? They're going to reject this. And this is what Nehemiah dealt with. It says in Nehemiah 2, verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are sick? You're not sick. This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. All right? So let's set the context here. Nehemiah is like the right-hand man to the king. He's his cupbearer, okay? And it was illegal, right? It was illegal to be sad in the presence of the king. You just couldn't do that, right? In fact, it was, listen, capital punishment could be enforced if you were sad in front of the king. And sure enough, Nehemiah gets caught, all right? Sad in front of the king, and you know the king asked him about it, and it says I became dreadfully afraid. Why? Because he knew. Wow, you know, he could literally order me to be killed for doing this. All right, but again, he's struggling with okay rejection, right? But he breaks out of that and says to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste?" And its gates are burned with fire. Then the king said to me, what do you request? What do you request? This was a big moment. He's about ready to give the answer. You know what he does? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I pray to the God. You ever been in a situation where you can't like say, okay, I need to leave the room. I need to go pray or, you know, whatever. I mean, you ever been in a situation where you just got to shoot one up to God? Like, you know, that's the Bible calls it praying without ceasing. That's what Nehemiah does. He prayed to the God of heaven. In other words, the question was asked, and in his heart, he just said, God help me, okay? God help me. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Wow. Wow. See, he was concerned about being rejected. He thought the kings will say, you're crazy, man. You work for me, okay? You're not going anywhere, you know? I mean, he was worried about, you know, this concept of being afraid, right? Afraid of rejection. But praise God, you know, he spoke it. He spoke it. One statement I heard about goal setting is goal setters are like giraffes. They stick their neck out to get what they want. Isn't that funny? Let me say that again. Goal setters are like giraffes. They stick their neck out to get what they want. And you know what Nehemiah did? He stuck his neck out like a giraffe. And he got what he wanted, okay? He got what he wanted. The king released him to do it. Praise God. Don't be afraid. Yes, I'm not saying you might not get rejected, but if you live with that fear and let that control you, you know, Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. Don't be snared by that, okay? Don't be snared by that. Be willing to have goals and to publicly share goals. And then also overcome the fear of opposition. Opposition. You know, one of the most surprising things to me in life is how many people will oppose something that I thought, wow, I mean, everybody should want this. I mean, everybody should want this. You know, but the reality is it's so strange, but it's so true. Expect opposition. Opposition is going to come. I mean, here's Nehemiah. He's going to rebuild these walls, okay? These walls are like defense. These walls are like protection. These walls are good for the people of Jerusalem. But listen. Not everybody wanted them, okay? There was opposition. And their names were Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. Alright, if you read Nehemiah, they're all through this storyline, okay? Let me read it. It says in verse 19 of Nehemiah 2, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Amorite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, here's what they did. They laughed. They laughed at us. They despised us. And said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Wow. They ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They despised him. They acted like he was doing something wrong. But his response was, listen, I'm not afraid of you. I'm the God of heaven himself is going to prosper us. We, his servants, we're going to arise. We're going to build. All right. We're going to build. You see, when God says arise and build, you know what the devil will always say? Arise and battle. Arise and battle. There's always going to be that spiritual battle. And we have to overcome that fear, okay? If you let rejection and opposition control you, listen, you're going nowhere in life, alright? You're going nowhere in life. If you're going to take goals to the next level, you got to overcome your fear. So number one, you got to pray to your God. Number two, you got to overcome your fear. Number three, develop your plan. Develop your plan. Now this is so deep, okay, to be honest with you. I'm covering a lot fast here, okay? This is an incredible case study, alright? But let's quickly go through his plan. Number one, establish a timing plan. So I said earlier, one of the big mistakes we make is in the area of timing. So we gotta try to work hard at getting that right. In Nehemiah 2:6 it says, then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. So the king says, listen, okay, how long is this going to take, you know? And Nehemiah says, I set him a time. I set him a time. You see, when it comes to goals, you have to have a timeline, right? And part of that is you got to make it a priority, right? The way I schedule things, I call them big rocks, okay? What are my big rocks? What are the things I'm really going to try to accomplish today, or what I'm going to accomplish this week or this month or whatever? Your goals in your schedule have got to become big rocks. You've got to set time aside to focus on them and to work on them, all right? So the time is so important. And it's also good, the best you can, to set some deadlines. And even if you miss your deadlines, it's still good to have them, okay? Have a timeline with specific deadlines you're trying to accomplish. So part of the plan is a timing plan. Also, what I call a problem plan. You got to anticipate problems. You got to try to think ahead. Okay, with this goal, what are some things that could come up? And you got to ask yourself, you know, what could hold me back? And Nehemiah identified at least one problem. And that was, okay, I'm going to have to travel from here to Judah, all right? Let's use the example, okay, I'm in Northern Virginia, and I want to travel to Florida, okay? So to go to Florida, I got to go through what, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, you know, all down through there, right? And what he says is this, listen, I got to travel, and people are, you know, as I go through each region, maybe I'm going to get stopped. And somebody's going to say, hey, you're not allowed to do this. And so he went to the king, it says, furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. In other words, he knew, okay, as I go along this path and I come into these different regions with different governors, somebody might stop me and say, hey, you can't do this, okay? And he says, king, I need to have a letter. I want to show him a letter from the king that says, I'm allowed to go through here, okay? No, what's he doing? He's anticipating a problem. You got to try to think about what are the potential pitfalls? What are the potential issues I could be dealing with? A third part of the plan is a resources plan. A resources plan. You got to think about, you know, how much. How much? What is this going to cost? And you got to kind of figure out, a calculation of cost. And so one of the things that Nehemiah knew he was going to need as a resource was timber, because he's going to build the wall, and part of the wall is going to be wood, and of course there's going to be stone and such as well. But it says in Nehemiah 2:8, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Amen. Amen. He got this letter, and I guess the, you know, Asaph must have been in charge of the of wood or whatever. I don't know who he was, okay, but he got this letter. And from the king that said, listen, he must give me timber. You know, this is the king's forest. And the king says, listen, Asaph, I need you to give Nehemiah the wood he needs, the timber he needs to do the job. You got to resource it, okay? You got to come up with what's needed. And then lastly, establish a game plan. Part of the plan is a game plan. And in Nehemiah 2:11-12, it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. So he gets to Jerusalem, and he's there for 3 days. And you know what he does? Listen, then I rose in the night, and I and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. What's he doing? He's going out at night to survey, okay, if you will, to examine the situation, all right? And he's doing it at night because, you know, he doesn't want people seeing him doing what he's doing Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, you know, we can sink a goal by telling everybody we're not ready, right? In other words, people say, hey, you know, you want to do that, but how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? And Nehemiah took time to come up with a game plan, And you have to get alone to do that, right? He didn't have a big entourage with him and a lot of people around him asking questions and stuff. No. He did it in the privacy of the night, all right? You got to do that, okay? You got to do that. So, again, develop a game plan, and that includes a timing plan, a problem plan, a resources plan, and a game plan. Now, lastly, form your team. And the first thing you got to do is define reality with your team. Nehemiah 2:17a. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. So one of the first things you got to do, and you know, as you think about this, the first question when it comes to going to the next level is, where am I now? Okay? Where am I now? And this is what he's doing. He's saying to them, I want to define reality here, okay? Here's the situation, all right? There's distress. People are stressed out. Jerusalem lies waste. No, not good. The gates are burned with fire. That's what, with the team, that's what you gotta do. I say, okay, here's the situation, all right? But listen, all right? Ask for help from your team. Okay, I could do a lot about this, and we're actually going to have a whole sermon on teamwork in this series. But really, the bottom line is you got to have a team. Because you can't do it all. And there, on many levels, including the level you don't have everything it takes to get it done. All right? God made us to be dependent on Him, and God made us to be dependent on one another. None of us have all the wisdom. None of us have all the gifts. None of us have all the talents. Left to ourselves, we will fail. God made us to work in a team environment because, listen, we need each other, okay? We need each other. And listen, Nehemiah knew that. So he came to them and said, listen, come. Nehemiah 2:17b through 18, come. And let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Not me build the wall. Let us do it together, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them, plural, of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us, I love this, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. I love it. Us, we, us, they. Okay? These are all words describing the team. The team. Ask your team for help. Tell people, listen, I can't do this by myself. I'm not capable. I'll fail if I'm left to myself. But we can do it together. Let us do it together. Let us come together and do it. Form your team. Form your team. Hey, if you want to go to the next level in living, you've got to have some next level goals. So what are your goals? And how can you come up with that? Pray to your God. Ask God, Lord, what is your will for me? What does my future look like? All right. Number two, overcome your fear. Don't let rejection and opposition hold you back. Okay. Develop your plan. A timing plan, a problem plan, a resources plan, a game plan. And listen, form your team. And by the way, make sure God's on your team. Make sure, you know, Nehemiah said, the hand of God was on me. And make sure the goals you have in your life are God's hand on you. It is my hope that, listen, this sermon will help you go to the next level. And to do that, you gotta have next level goals. So take action, and do next level goals.